The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Now, I don't think we should really be calling this one an Explorers Podcast, but we do have a geologist with us today, Dr. Francis Fardine. He is the founder, MD, and CEO of Vulcan Energy, ASX code VUL. And the reason I said we shouldn't probably be calling this the Explorers Podcast is because it comes with a $8.12 share price at the moment for a market cap of $1.06 billion. So there's obviously a bit of excitement behind this one, and it's all around zero carbon lithium with a project in Germany that takes hot lithium brines and not only harnesses that for geothermal energy, but also obviously to produce lithium hydroxide at the end. That's the plan, and companies have been flat chat working towards that. So we won't mess around because we've got a lot to talk about today. So with that, I'll say, g'day, Francis. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, hi, Barry. Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me on.
Right. Now, Francis, an interesting one here, zero carbon lithium, even trademarked, I see, because it's an unusual one. We're used to either hard rock out of WA going off to China or lithium brines out of South America. But tell us a bit about the underlying resource with this project you've got in Germany.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. So I'm actually a geologist by background, as you said, and I actually come from a background of discovering and developing those hard rock lithium resources in WA that you mentioned. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We need all the lithium we can get at the moment. Mm-hmm. That's obviously going to the Chinese market. For the European market, the market's chronically undersupplied at the moment. Europe is the fastest growing lithium market in the world, but has no domestic production of lithium chemicals. And as a consumer of lithium hydroxide, is 90% reliant on the Chinese markets to supply it. So that was a big driver of us setting up Vulcan. The other aspect is lithium actually has quite a high carbon footprint at the moment in terms of the production, particularly hard rock processing to lithium hydroxide in China. So really that was a big driver of setting up Vulcan, was to develop a zero carbon lithium project to service the market in Europe, which, you know, the major OEMs are looking for products produced with net zero carbon footprints to go into their batteries, to go into the EVs. And what we've ended up with, we started in 2018. We've defined in the Upper Rhine Valley geothermal lithium brine field, which is a deep sort of plus 2 kilometers deep geothermal brine field that is producing at the moment. We've defined in our license areas, in just three of our 11 license areas, actually, Europe's largest lithium resource by quite a large margin. Mm-hmm. And what we're intending to do is using existing wells that we have, existing producing wells and additional producers that we're going to be drilling, we aim to produce geothermal energy, geothermal heat, geothermal power. We're already producing geothermal power, but we're going to be producing a lot more, hopefully, by pumping this hot brine up to the surface. And then before we re-inject the brine, which is what we're currently doing, we'll be diverting it through a adsorption plant where it contacts an alumina-based sorbent that takes the lithium out of the brine. We basically recover, you know, plus 90% of the lithium in chloride form. We re-inject the brine minus the lithium. And then we upgrade that lithium chloride to lithium hydroxide product. And throughout this process, we've designed the process from the ground up to be zero fossil fuels, which is the first of its kind in the world. And it basically harnesses the heat, the energy from the geothermal brine to drive the process. So hence zero carbon lithium. It actually has a net negative carbon footprint, because we are producing more renewable energy than we consume. So we're selling renewable energy to the grid, and that results in a net negative footprint. But we, for simplicity's sake, we call it the zero carbon lithium project. Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell. And we're, as I said, we're already producing geothermal energy. We'll be producing geothermal, hopefully on a much larger scale by late 24, and then also entering into commercial lithium production by late 2024, scaling up from there sort of 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, okay. So you've got this big renewable heat source. What about the grade and the flow rates from the field?
So it's quite high grade for a geothermal brine. So geothermal brines typically sort of 1 to 10 milligrams per litre lithium.
Right.
This one is just under 200 milligrams. So it's about 180 milligrams per litre lithium. That's in the same order of magnitude as a commercial South American Salar type lithium deposit, but it is on the lower grade of the spectrum. So typically a commercial deposit in South America would be sort of about 400, 500 milligrams per litre lithium.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in this case is we have heat embodied within the brine.
Right.
So that heat drives down our production costs because it means that we're able to use techniques like sorption, which need the brine to be heated up. In South America, sorption is used, but we understand that they use gas to heat up the brine. Our brine comes preheated. So because of that embodied energy within the brine, we can operate at lower grades. We also don't need evaporation ponds like you need in South America, because we use the heat to drive a forced evaporation process. And once again, that because you have an exponential capex increase with lower grade brines in South America because of that need for evap ponds, we don't have that. We're able to run forced evaporation with the heat, so we can operate at lower grades compared to those guys. And in terms of flow rates, you've hit the nail on the head, really. I mean, that's one of the main controllers of the economics of these projects. So we specifically chose the Upper Rhine Valley because it's hosted within this sandstone reservoir, where you get existing faults in this graben system within the reservoir. And what that gives you is it gets naturally high flow rates if you target the fault zones. There's some really attractive looking granite-hosted geothermal lithium deposits worldwide,
mm-hmm.
Which have a lot of heat and a lot of lithium, but because they're hosted solely within the granite, they don't have the flow rates. So it's important to have the right rocks. You need flow rates, you need heat, and you need high lithium grades to make this kind of process work.
Right, okay. And in this particular region, geothermal power generation is nothing new. And you mentioned that you've actually got a plant yourself that's producing at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. So my co-founder of the company, Dr. Horst Kreuter, has been with the German geothermal industry since the beginning. So Vulcan was really the coming together of the geothermal world in Germany and sort of the lithium world from Australia.
Right.
It's nothing new to them. They've been producing geothermal for many years now. In fact, Horst founded the first geothermal development company in Germany in 1999. And the plant that we acquired late last year, the Insheim plant, that's been operating successfully since 2012. So it's very, very well established. It's nothing new under the sun.
Mm. So whose idea was it to, if the energy source is coming up in lithium brines, let's add a lithium plant to it? Whose original idea was that?
Well, I mean, it was my idea to set up Vulcan. Mm. I think you always stand on the shoulders of giants. I mean, our CTO, Stephen Harrison, he has been working on extracting lithium from geothermal brines for many years now. He was the former CTO of Symbol, who looked at this in the Salton Sea in California. But I think what's unique about Vulcan is that we've taken a very strict approach from the beginning to exclude fossil fuels from our flow sheet, to exclusively use the geothermal energy, and that's a unique selling point, and that's why we're uniquely a zero carbon lithium project.
Right. I had a look at a presentation on the website, and I see the environmental footprint of lithium produced from hard rock sources: 15 tons of carbon dioxide, and brine sourced lithium in the Atacama Desert over in South America, consumes 470 cubic meters of water. So it's a bit incongruous, isn't it? The green energy revolution, batteries very much a part of it, but currently either quite energy intensive or consuming a lot of water. Whereas you're arguing this project, zero carbon lithium, is as green as you can get.
That's right. I mean, to be clear, we're not demonizing other projects or other methods. No. We need all the lithium we can get, but I mean, particularly for the European market, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't make sense. And I think other, developers and producers have said this, it doesn't really make sense to produce lithium in Australia for the European market, particularly, hard rock spodumene. It's not going to travel to Europe. It's a semi-bulk. Yeah. I think, the European market, particularly with focus on carbon footprint, they need other solutions. And that's what we're focused on providing. So it's lithium from Europe for Europe, essentially, with that zero carbon footprint that is specific, I think, to the European OEMs. Look, I mean, I drive an EV. I know that the lithium hasn't come from a zero carbon source. Even with that setup, they're still a much greener product than a fossil fuel vehicle. But clearly, there's a better way of doing this, and that's what we're trying to achieve.
Okay. Europe, of course, is very much at the vanguard of the green energy revolution. And if it wasn't COVID with supply issues, now we have the Russian-Ukraine situation. Germany, of course, 55% of its gas, I think, comes from Russia. Is geothermal part of their strategy to reduce, improve their security supply of energy?
Yeah, very much so. So geothermal has always been quite a niche space in Germany. It's been quite a small space in the renewable energy world of Germany compared to wind and solar. But I mean, you look at a country like Iceland, it's, it's 100% geothermal.
Mm.
Germany has huge potential. So the Upper Rhine Valley is, the hottest part of Central Europe where we are. And uniquely, geothermal is able to provide a source of heating. And that's sort of the elephant in the room at the moment in terms of decarbonization of energy supply, but also security of energy supply with obviously the recent tragic events in Ukraine. So this has really put geothermal up in lights. And a recent study, which was commissioned by the German government, by the Fraunhofer Institute, showed that a quarter of Germany's heating needs could be provided by geothermal. And that's quite timely because we've basically, we've acquired a number of geothermal development and operational teams. We've acquired the onshore rigs that we need to deploy this on a mass scale. So we really are gearing the team up to be the biggest developer of geothermal energy across Germany over the coming years. And I think it couldn't have come at a more opportune time.
Europe at large is committing billions and billions of euros to the green energy revolution. Does your project qualify for any particular soft dollar loans going forward once you get to the development stage?
We believe so. I mean, these sort of public funding schemes obviously take quite a bit of time to pursue, and we're moving very quickly towards development. So we can't sort of hang around and wait for public money. But certainly, we've got very vocal support from the EU, from the German federal government, from state governments where we operate. And we do expect to receive some assistance during the course of the project. When that arrives, I wouldn't be able to say, but there's certainly a lot of support for us out there.
Okay, I guess opportune time now to talk about the potential scale. There was a PFS back in early 2021 covering, I think it was 74 megawatts of power and 40,000 tonnes per annum of lithium hydroxide. Is that still roughly the scale of project we're looking at here?
No, so what's happened since then is we've basically fully sold out of our lithium production for the first 5 years. So we signed up with fully binding take-or-pay lithium hydroxide offtake agreements, Volkswagen, Renault, Stellantis on the OEM side, LG Energy Solution on the battery side, and Umicore on the cathode side, all based in Europe.
Yeah.
And out of those offtake agreements, what became apparent to us is if we produce more, the buyers will take it, basically. So we're trying to, as part of our DFS, we're trying to sort of upscale our production plans. So we can't put an exact figure on that yet. It's probably going to be in the order of a plus 50%. But we are aiming to produce more lithium hydroxide, and we're scaling up our production ambitions as part of that.
Right. And as a result of that, would the geothermal power also increase?
It will, yes. And it's also likely to be more heating than power. So power is sort of the fallback option, but we completed a heat offtake agreement to sell heating to Germany's largest municipal energy supplier, MVV, a few weeks ago. And we hope that's the first of many across the region. So we're going to be executing more heat offtake agreements. Mm. Heating is lower capex for us, and it's much more advantageous for local communities as well. So that's going to be a real focus area for us. And yes, that total figure is likely to go up as well. It's also more efficient to produce heat because you lose energy when you convert heat to power, obviously. So directly producing heat for local businesses, local communities is a main focus for us.
Mm, okay. And what's your take on the lithium market itself? I noticed in the PFS, there was, I think, the assumed lithium hydroxide price was $15,000 a ton. Of course, we're at, what is it, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a ton at the moment. What do you see as a long-term sort of settling price for lithium going forward?
Well, I mean, I'd say once we're in production, we will have a very low cost of production because we're able to leverage off that freely available heat within the brine. So in our PFS, we were looking at an OPEX of just over $3,000 a ton. Now, that's obviously, that will change, obviously, because the world is very different from January 2021. But certainly, we can be a very low-cost producer. However, I'd say that where pricing is going to end up, I mean, we sort of follow just a consensus of industry analyst forecasts. And we obviously take our own view. I think we see it ending up somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 US dollars a ton. I think that's incentive pricing for a lot of other new projects coming on stream.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we sort of see it settling, which gives us quite a bit of upside considering that we based our PFS metrics off of 14,900 US dollar a ton. So I think we can pretty safely say it's going to be north of that as an assumption in the DFS.
Yeah. And just to confirm, the price you quoted there for lithium cost of production, did that include a revenue offset from the geothermal, or was that standalone sort of price?
No, that's standalone. Mm. When you include the revenue offset from the geothermal, I mean, it basically goes negative. So that's a standalone lithium operation receiving the lithium-rich brine from the geothermal plants as a separate entity. Mm. So it's a really interesting business model because if you look at the geothermal wells and plants as your mine. I mean, this is the gear that's sort of bringing your raw material product up to the surface. The mine basically pays for itself before you've even extracted a product from it and sold that. So the geothermal should support itself as a standalone operation. It should pay back its own capital and produce a sort of infra type return before you even start extracting the lithium. So it should be a very low-cost operation indeed.
So where are you at with the definitive feasibility study?
So it's progressing well. We expect to get it finished sort of towards the end of the year. We've had a pilot plant that's been operating, extracting lithium from the brine at our Insheim geothermal plant for over a year now. That's been going really well, producing plus 90% lithium recoveries. That's been informing the DFS. So it's been going well. It's obviously, it's a highly complex project with a lot of moving parts. So it's just about drawing all of those different parts together. And what we plan to do is for our phase one, we'll do the DFS and we'll, at the same time, we intend to announce a phase two PFS, an updated PFS,
right.
And then we'll roll straight into the DFS for phase two as well. So that should give our stakeholders kind of an idea of how big we think the project's going to be with that phase two development as well.
Mm. And it seems to be potentially closer at hand than most people would assume. The company's still thinking 2024, 2025, thereabouts, for first production of lithium?
Yeah, that's right. So we're at the back end of 2024 at the moment. It is tight, and I mean, we're constantly sort of reviewing that and updating that. I mean, I think everybody is in the same boat basically at the moment. The global supply chains are just in an unprecedented mess.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to monitor that timeline carefully. But yes, that's still the target date.
And Francis, just finally, I guess we have to touch on the 52-week high for the stock. It was $16.65 and $8.12, still phenomenal growth in the last couple of years. But what is that retracement to $8.12 tell us?
Well, I think there's been a correction across the board, and particularly the last sort of couple of months. So I think there's a bit of sort of, you know, global macro change there that's enabled that pushback. But I think if you look at the analysts that cover us, I think there's a pretty good consensus that we're quite undervalued now. So I mean, from our perspective, we just put our heads down and focus on the project execution. I think if we looked at the share price every day, we'd probably go mad because it doesn't really necessarily always follow logic. So we're just cracking on, and I mean, we're convinced that given where we are, given the quality of the resource, the quality of the team, you know, we've got 120 personnel split between the geothermal side, the lithium side will be double that by the end of the year. Right. Quality of the assets that we've got, good cash position that we've got as well. I think you know, we'll see that value come through eventually, but we just have to put our heads down and get on with it.
Yeah, having said that, it has been a market cap of $1 billion with some re-rating events coming up. I was just wondering, could you give investors finally just a little bit of feel for some milestones that could become re-rating events as the rest of the year unfolds?
Yeah, absolutely. So we already touched on DFS, so I think that's going to be that's going to be a major catalyst. So phase one DFS, phase two PFS, that'll be towards the end of the year. But in the meantime, there'll be other things that will go into that. So we do intend to update our global resource. We have a resource which covers just three of our 11 licenses. So we're looking at adding more resource to the sort of project pipeline from the other areas. We'll be providing updates on our pilot and our new demonstration plant as well, which is a much bigger beast in terms of sort of scale up to commercial. So we'll be updating investors on that pretty regularly in the weeks and months to come as that sort of goes through construction and into commissioning and production. Look, the team is going to grow. We're also working on discussions with strategic investors as well. So including with some off-takers, there's a potential for one of those guys to actually come into the project for some equity. So that could be a major catalyst, I think, going forward for us as well. That's what we're working on. But otherwise, it's all about project execution and growth of the project. So investors should expect to see plenty of updates on that in the weeks and months to come.
Interesting. Okay, there we go, folks. One for the ages there, zero carbon lithium in Europe. Lots of news flow to come, as Francis has just outlined there. So one to watch in coming months. So Francis, thanks for your time today. Very interesting story, and good luck with it all.
Thanks so much, Barry. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers.